Rainmaker FM.
Copyblogger FM is brought to you by StudioPress Sites, the complete hosted solution that makes WordPress fast, secure, and easy without sacrificing power or flexibility. Feel free to upload your own WordPress theme or use one of the 20 beautiful StudioPress themes that are included and just one click away. Explore all the amazing things you can do with the StudioPress site, and you'll understand why it offers a lot more than traditional WordPress hosting. No matter how you'll be using your site, we have a plan to fit your needs and your budget. To learn more, visit rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. That's rainmaker.fm/StudioPress. Hello, hello. It is so good to see you again. Welcome back to Copyblogger FM, the content marketing podcast. Copyblogger FM is about emerging content marketing trends, interesting disasters, and enduring best practices, along with the occasional rant. My name is Sonia Simone. I'm the Chief Content Officer for Rainmaker Digital. You can catch me at least once a week over on the Copyblogger blog, as well as finding some more mindset and ranty stuff at Remarkable Communication. So remember, you can always get the show notes for every episode. Those typically include links, free extras, by pointing your browser to copyblogger.fm. And you can also find the complete show archive there. So today I wanted to talk about something that I have been seeing crop up a lot lately on Facebook or when I talk to people at events, and it's very difficult and it's very sad and it's completely avoidable. And that's a person who spends 6 or 7 or 8 months, sometimes, you know, a year or more, putting together a massive flagship project. So this is the project, this is the business that's going to get them out of debt, it's going to get them out of their job they can't stand, or whatever their big driver is right now. This is going to be their savior. And it's got multiple pieces, and it's got multiple stages, and they heard about this cool marketing automation strategy, so they're using that. And then they spent a bunch of money on a copywriter for the sales page. And they spend a bunch more money for a video company to produce their content. And then they spend a bunch more money on a really slick website, and so on and so on. And they're really hustling and they're really working hard and they've been working night and day. A lot of times, you know, that's had maybe some toll on their health habits and it's had some toll on their family life. And they finally get it launched and they get nothing or close to nothing. So sometimes, I mean, I have talked to people who have made literally zero sales, and I've talked to people who, you know, they made a few, but it just wasn't anywhere near enough to make it worth that investment of their time and oftentimes their investment of money as well. So some people have wonderful resilience and they learn from this and they keep going. And, you know, that's super inspirational. When I see it, I love that. But the truth is that there are people who don't have that same resilience. Sometimes because they don't have a good support network, sometimes they don't have a lot of faith in themselves, sometimes they just don't have any more runway, they don't have any more time and money to invest. And the failure makes them afraid to try again. And very commonly, they either think, you know, they're deficient, you know, I'm just not good at this, other people can do it. Or they will fix the blame on, you know, see, email doesn't work, or see, online business doesn't work, or whatever, you know, whatever they think the point of failure was. So today I thought I would talk about some of the things you can do to make sure that this never happens to you, because I have seen it honestly more times than I can count, but it really does not have to happen. So I identified three kind of key points of failure, key points of success, key things that you can do, keep your focus on to protect yourself from putting in this, you know, tragic amount of time and effort and maybe even money and not seeing the outcome. And the first thing you need to focus on is you need to start with the smallest pilot version of this project that you can possibly imagine. So we have talked about this a lot on Copyblogger. We talk about it a lot in our authority community. It's the concept of the minimum viable product that's often abbreviated as MVP. And that term comes out of software development. And sometimes it's misunderstood, and I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But if you implement it correctly, it truly can save you from an awful lot of heartache and wallet ache. So I'll give you an example. Let's say that you've been thinking about offering a program that teaches people how to quit their city job and run a small organic farm. You know, raising organic carrots and get some of those cool-looking chickens and, you know, live your life in fresh air and sunshine. It's a very appealing dream. Now, let's, before I continue, realize I'm completely making this up. So, you know, all my numbers are going to be off because I have absolutely no expertise in this topic. But let's just say that you have experience with this. Maybe you've done it yourself, or maybe you've advised your friends on doing it. And you know that it takes a couple of years to really learn what you need to know. So you're thinking, okay, I'm going to have a minimum viable product, and that's going to be a one-year program, and it's going to take people through the whole process, all the financial stuff, all the practical stuff, how to raise the chickens, how to find the chickens, finding the land, buying the land, the whole thing. So because that's a massive undertaking, you spend about 8 months putting your course together, and you do videos, and you do interviews, and you really make it ultra, ultra valuable. And you launch it, and you don't get any sales at all. Because when you're describing this course in order to sell it to people, people can't even imagine doing the coursework, never mind actually getting a farm going. You've overwhelmed them before they've even contemplated taking a first step. So even though a lot of people might have the dream, they might be interested in the idea, you jumped so many steps that you left them all behind. So here's how I might suggest this hypothetical person create a much more minimum viable product for this idea. So I would suggest spend a weekend writing an ebook that outlines the process of step one. So maybe that's how to find and buy a piece of land for an organic farm. If you know this topic, then you probably know what the real step one is. I just made that up. Now, this ebook is not going to give you everything you need to know to find and buy a piece of land for an organic farm, because that's quite a big undertaking. But it's going to give you a picture. It's going to let you know what the main steps are, the key pitfalls, the resources you're going to have to bring together. So it just gives you a high-level view of what's involved. It lets people know what kind of ballpark they're playing in. So if you have an audience, you let your audience know about that. If you have the opportunity to guest post for an audience that would have this interest, you do that. And, you know, you definitely want to throw some ads at your MVP, because that's where you find out, you know, is this something that I can reliably find customers for? If you find that you're spending $100 on ads and you get to a point where you can fairly reliably get to $180 in revenue, and since it's an ebook, you have essentially zero overhead. That's, you know, that's pretty interesting data. That shows that there's something that might be worth following up on. And what I would suggest is not necessarily don't jump right to that one-year program. You're still not ready. But maybe consult to people, you know, who want more. Find out what they want more with. Find out what's stopping them from moving forward. And there's another possibility, which is that every $100 you spend on ads, you get $1 in revenue. So that does not necessarily mean it's not a good idea, but it could mean that you want to look more closely at the market and try and figure out, A, are they actually buyers? Because not everyone who has an interest will spend money on it. And then B, if they are buyers, what is it that they would actually want to buy? Now, I mentioned earlier that some people are a little confused about what an MVP, a minimum viable product, is. And some people seem to think that it's just a bunch of kind of half-baked garbage that you launched just so you can say that you launched. So, you know, that doesn't really do you any good at all. Here's my rule of thumb. A minimum viable product has to create a meaningful transformation for the customer. It has to get that customer something that she actually wants. It does not have to take her all the way to her eventual destination. It has to give her a meaningful step in the right direction. So it can't be nothing. It can't be junk. It has to work, but it's only one step. So you don't want to be launching trash because that's not good for your reputation, but you can't try and launch perfection either. And the way around it is just very simple. You let people know. I like to promise people, I promise you this product is going to be imperfect. I promise you that we are still creating and building it, and we're going to have a few, peculiar things that end up not being part of the final product, and you are going to work with me to build that together. So that's turning, a potential negative that it's going to have some problems into a positive, which is we're going to be co-creating this thing. And it's going to be amazing because we're all going to work together as a community to make it wonderful. Now, a couple of bugs, a couple of glitches, this is and that's are fine. It's expected. You set the expectation and it's not a problem. You fix them. You issue an apology. I'm so sorry about the weird video quality or whatever it was, you fix it and you move on. I think the part that becomes problematic is people who launch this kind of thing and they don't care. They don't care that it's good. They don't care. And I have seen some rather seasoned businesses who do not care that their $1,000, ebook is full of typos and that their, DVDs, the sound quality is horrible, and they're charging good money for this and they just don't care. That I find harder to forgive. And in my experience, your audience is not going to be too happy with you about it either. So don't do sloppy work. Don't let things be a problem because you don't care. But a minimum viable product is not about perfection. It's about learning. Your second area of focus. If you keep your attention on this and do not waver, you will almost always end up doing pretty well, which is focusing on the offer. So if you had to boil it down to the simplest terms, having a successful business is about making stuff or finding stuff that customers want to buy. So in copywriting, an offer is the thing that you have to sell and then the terms you're selling it for, the price. So a $7 ebook on topic A is one offer, and a $2,000 course on topic A through Z is a different offer. And you can think of the components of that offer as, what are you selling? What's the price? And then if it's anything about education or anything like that, what is the time or energy investment on the part of the person who's purchasing the product? If it's a course, how much time will they need to put into it? That's part of the offer too. So Gary Bensavenga, a wonderful direct response copywriter, says a gifted product is mightier than a gifted pen. And what that means is that if you want to be this genius marketer, then you only sell things that you're very sure people want to buy. And it does not matter how fabulous your marketing skills are. It does not matter how great a copywriter you are. If you don't have an offer that people want to buy, you're not going to sell it unless you lie. And obviously we're not going to go there, right? If you're honest about your product and it's not what people want, they won't buy it no matter how good you are. None of us is that good. So the reason we started with that minimum viable product approach, that tiny, tiny pilot product or pilot service, is that that is the lowest risk way that you can approach to figure out a great offer. That's how you can put a great offer together, but in the lowest risk way possible. So we offer something small, meaningful, but small, and then we see if it gets interest. Is it getting any bites? And then we build on that. And the whole time we talk with customers, with people who are willing to put money on the table, even if it is only $7 for an ebook. Because the advice of buyers just beats the crap out of a bunch of bystanders who have all kinds of opinions about what you should sell and how you should sell it and what your sales page should look like. There is no end of these people who will tell you how to do things. And if they're not your customers, their opinion, I won't say worthless, but it's kind of next door to worthless. Has this person bought from you, Or has this person bought a similar product from a competitor, so they're accustomed to putting their money down and they know what works and doesn't work? So in a business, and especially digital business, the offer, the figuring out the thing, the service, the digital product, the t-shirt, whatever it is, figuring out something people want at a price that works for them is most of the work. And when you have that in place, you have something people want, you're offering it at a price that they are comfortable with and they're willing to pay, then the sales and marketing is mainly a function of just expressing that very clearly, expressing what it is, how much it costs, and then, you know, what does it do for that customer? What are the benefits that this product or service has? And just expressing all of that clearly. So once that's in place, then we can layer on all those fun extras. You know, we can start really putting some copywriting skill in, and we can talk about segmenting the audience, and we can talk about advanced automation and optimizing the color of your add to cart button. Those are all super good things to learn. They're all valuable, but they're not going to help you sell if the offer isn't there. And it strikes me that where I see people falter and spend a lot more time maybe than they needed to spend getting their business up is they're trying to skip steps. You know, don't skip those small early steps, because big dreams are wonderful, but we get to them by taking small steps, especially in the beginning. You know, trying to skip ahead, trying to jump to this amazing outcome from scratch without kind of going down the whole path, it works about as often as you see a grand slam home run in Little League. So it's not that it never happens. I mean, once in a while it happens, but it's not what you want to bet your well-being on. It's not what you want to bet your marriage on or your health on. And then the third area of focus is to simplify and then simplify and then simplify again. So there are so many cool tools and techniques out there that help us sell things. You know, these brilliant strategies, very expensive copywriters, and those things are worth it. They're worth every penny. They're good if you put them in place at the right time. And the right time is not at the start of a new project with an untested market, before your audience is really with you, you know, and before you've ever offered them anything. So you're not going to build a custom website. You're going to use something really solid and really reliable and that looks good. StudioPress Sites jumps to mind. That'll give you a turnkey solution that looks great. It gets the job done. It's reliable. It's not going to crash. It's not going to have security problems. But you don't have to have this big investment to have every single piece of custom functionality that you might want someday. You can always build on it. But start with something that's just solid and proven and not too expensive. Along the same lines, you're not going to hire an expert copywriter. Expert copywriters are really expensive and you're not there yet. Same thing with fancy automation that's really complicated and you spend, you know, a week, 2 weeks, a month trying to figure it out. You're not there yet. Same thing with bringing on a lot of staff. So I think that sometimes we hear that advice, begin with the end in mind, and we think everything has to scale. But the truth is, from where you start, very little that you start with has to scale. Make it work small first, because it might not work small. It just might not work. You might need to tweak your idea quite a bit. And then you can replace the pieces with more robust ones if and when you need to. So I see so many people doing the equivalent of, they rent out, like, you know, the equivalent of a half of a shopping mall. All they really ever needed was a tiny little cart or a kiosk to test their idea. So I'm going to bet that you find, as I find every time I do this, every time I start a new project, a new, you know, side business or a new little product, I have to keep making this decision and then keep remaking it over and over again. Keep it simple. And if I'm getting overwhelmed, I need to remember to keep it simple. And if I get nervous that it's going to flop, I need to remember to keep it simple. So those three chunks again are, start with the tiniest pilot product that would create a meaningful change. One step that's meaningful. Then use that pilot project to understand your offer. What kind of offer does this audience respond to? What do they really want to buy? And what's the price that makes them feel comfortable paying it? And then keep reminding yourself to keep simplifying. And when you get bogged down, it's probably a sign that you've allowed something to get a little overcomplicated, and maybe just put it aside for now and come back to it later when the project is a little more mature and ready for that more sophisticated solution. So that's it for today. I sincerely hope that this helps keep some folks from heartbreak. It's so hard. It's just such a hard place to be in. And it makes me sad to think of anybody being in that position of being so afraid and so heartbroken and so demoralized when you can keep yourself out of that overwhelm and out of that demoralization. You just have to focus on the right things at the right time. That's it for today. Thank you so much for your time and for your attention. And I'll catch you next week. Take care.